This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming alive for the Build 4 Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning, Election Day 2024. And we got sports to talk about. Of course, you had a very entertaining Monday night game last night between the Chiefs and the Buccaneers, and you got Todd Bowles on the hot seat for not going for two. You got a Patrick Mahomes injury that he battles through. This man is superhuman, and you've got a Chiefs team that does not lose. So once again, they are heavy favorites to go to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, and even when they play these tight games, they find a way to win with Patrick Mahomes hobbled. So good luck beating them again as they continue to build on their dynasty. And we got some Yankees and some baseball offseason to talk about. What a weird end to that Gerrit Cole opt-out story, as basically nothing happened, and Scott Boras kind of looks foolish for even toying with that opt-out and messing with the Yankees and Gerrit Cole. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. I'm a little bit tired. I stayed up and watched this game last night, and it was a great game, you know, and in between I'm flipping to the Knicks and everything else.
Yeah, I know.
And unfortunately, the Knicks lose to Houston. We'll get to them a little bit later. But, you know, it is amazing. And Troy Aikman said it last night. He goes, you know, if the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you know, score a touchdown here at the end of regulation, I would go for two. So would I.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Patrick Mahomes is 8-0 in overtime. 8-0. I think about that for
it's
a
crazy.
Second.
Yeah.
He basically owns the fourth quarter in overtime, and whether he's hurt or he's not, remember a few years ago he played with that bad ankle, that high ankle sprain that very few guys could ever play with, and he played with it and played great with it and ended up winning a Super Bowl with it. And last night it was the left ankle that he tweaked last week, and he tweaked it again last night. And you, the way that he went off the field, you were wondering whether or not he was going to come back, and then he did. Man, he is just unbelievable.
Look, so after you get from Mahomes and Bradshaw on this list of best record in OT regular season games, you get Trent Dilfer, Brock Osweiler, and Marcus Mariota, which is funny because I hadn't thought about Brock Osweiler in I don't know how long, and Al referenced Brock Osweiler this morning on the warm-up show, not for this stat, but in relation to paying guys who stink, and now Brock Osweiler makes it into the show again. I wonder who is he's right. For the today, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah, I don't know, but those are regular season stats. He has two in the playoffs too, Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, he does.
So he's an amazing football player, and you know, listening to Troy try to explain like the things that he does on the field, less I thought he did a good job. I mean, for those of us who played the position and watching him play, it's just ridiculous how things come so easy to him and how he sees the field and knows what he has to get done. And then he has this very special relationship with Travis Kelce, and now he's developing a relationship with DeAndre Hopkins, mm-hmm. which is scary too. And you know, they got the full complement now going, and if they get totally healthy, they're going to be really, really difficult to beat. The question will be, is will they go undefeated? And that's like the one one thing that they haven't done yet.
Yeah,
they haven't gone
undefeated. It's sort of like the Patriots back when they were winning all those Super Bowls, and in 2007 they were doing it. I think it's much harder now to go undefeated than it even was back in 2007. Obviously there's an extra game which makes it harder, but it's tough, and you just see the crazy nature of the NFL from week to week and some of these upsets and things that you never expect to happen. So I would never put anything past Patrick Mahomes. He is capable of anything. And yes, it's really him and the coaching and everything else. And they got to Spagnuolo and Andy Reid, and we understand Matt Nagy's back there. I mean, they just have a great coaching staff and the best player in the world, but undefeated is tough.
I would say, you know, all right, so here's their schedule, just so you understand it. So Denver at home next week, and then they have to go to Buffalo. Then they're at Carolina, then they got the Raiders, and then they're at home against the Chargers. So Buffalo and the Chargers will be tough games. They're at Cleveland. They have Houston at home. They're at Pittsburgh and at Denver at the end of the season. So, there are a couple places in there where they could lose. I could see them losing.
Yeah, but they'll be favored in every one of these games.
Oh, 100%. You know? Why wouldn't they be favored?
No,
they have the best quarterback on the planet, and I can't say enough about just, again, like, if you're a Kansas City Chiefs fan and you watch him every single week, it's like that's what you want.
Yeah.
That's what every team wants. They want a quarterback that kind of handles the game like this. You don't have to go out there and throw for 400 yards every game and 5 touchdowns. But when the game is on the line, you got to make plays, especially if you're injured. You know, they're trying to get DeAndre Hopkins up to speed. Next thing you know, he's got 2 touchdowns. You know, why? Because the ball hits him right in the chest.
Yep.
You know, and he just moves around back there. He'll take a sack. The only time he really gets in trouble is when he gets bored. And then he tries to force the issue, and he'll throw an interception here or there. But my God, I mean, he is just so calm, cool, and collected. And, you know, he is everything that every quarterback needs to be. And it's really hard to get to where he is right now.
Yeah, the Chiefs were one of those franchises before Patrick Mahomes got there. And something we don't talk about or think about now that they basically have this dynasty and we're in the midst of watching it. You know, they had a Super Bowl a long time ago, much like the Jets. It was Super Bowl IV. It was the Hank Stram matriculate the ball down the field. They had a great fan base, great stadium, and they were okay. But they never really got over the hump. They were just a good franchise that would have a lot of heartbreaks when they did make the playoffs. They had good players that came in and out of there. Derek Thomas being one, the RIP. But stuff like so. And then all of a sudden, what changes? They get the guy. And then that's it. And they have a dynasty. So, I mean, it's just, I know it's so impossible to get the best player in football, one of the best quarterbacks we've ever seen, and how a lot of it is scouting, but some of it's just luck and where you end up and what other teams see. But, you know, if you're someone who is a fan of a franchise that's been dormant and you're thinking to yourself, like, man, I'm never going to be able to see championships. I mean, think about the Kansas City Chiefs. It was decades and decades that they were just a team that was looking back on that one Super Bowl. And now all of a sudden, here they are. And Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are driving this thing right into NFL history.
They were close with Marty Schottenheimer. And then they, you know, they had Dick Vermeil there for a while.
Yeah, but
Herm Edwards got there.
Yeah, but they never
had Todd Haley.
A lot of heartbreak, though, you know?
It wasn't until Andy Reid came there and stabilized everything.
Yeah.
And they had Alex Smith. You know, Andy, you know, had Alex Smith. And they would win. And there were games, I remember, towards Alex's, you know, final chapter there in Kansas City before he went to Washington. Because, you know, Alex Smith is kind of like a guy that you'd want to have if you can't have Patrick Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you can't have Josh Allen or Joe Burrow. You'd want him to be your quarterback because you could trust him. And he'll go out there, he'll get everybody set, he'll get everybody in the right formations, he'll make all the right checks at the line of scrimmage, he'll communicate to his team, but he's just not going to, like, ignite the offense. He's not going to make the big plays or the key plays. And there were times where they were in the playoffs with Andy Reid where Alex Smith just wouldn't, like, let it go. You know what I mean? Like, he just wouldn't let it go. Like, Patrick is completely different. And, man, he is just an amazing football player, and he has every attribute that you want. He's got the body style. He's got the arm strength. He's got the accuracy. And he's got the wherewithal, the understanding of where he is in the game, what he needs to get done. And Troy was explaining this last night, and I was like, man, this is right on exactly how you want to describe the way that Patrick Mahomes plays.
I got a question for you, and it has nothing to do with Patrick Mahomes. It actually has to do with the other quarterback in this game who played well without his top two wide receivers. If Baker Mayfield were on the Giants, how much better would they be this year?
I think they would be a lot better, you know, because he's so fiery, and he's exactly what Brian Daboll is looking for.
I feel like that pairing together would do some special things, like Daboll and Baker Mayfield. Not that Baker Mayfield's available, I look at Baker Mayfield because we talk so much about what's next for the Giants and finding that guy and who is it, and if you don't draft him, where are you going to find him? And Baker Mayfield's that perfect example of a guy who was bouncing around, but he works his ass off, he has a lot of energy, and he found this home in Tampa where he is playing his ass off. And like that, if the Giants can't find somebody in the draft this year, they got to find the closest version of that somewhere in free agency or a trade. Which makes it so difficult, I know, but I'm just trying to give another example of a team that found a guy that gave them energy.
I'll tell you who might be available next year. Derek Carr.
Oh, God.
Remember Rob Saleh really wanted Derek Carr?
Yeah, okay. Rob Saleh's not here anymore, and Michael Thomas called him so ass that he should get his ass beat.
His own teammate, I know,
right.
which is really a shame. But I will just say that, you know, they went from Drew Brees to Derek Carr. And it just goes to show you how much in charge and how much of a great leader Drew Brees was when he was playing there. And even though Derek Carr is a very fine football player, he's like, you know, reminds me of Daniel Jones. He's a really good football player. But, is he going to raise the level of play of the players around him? I know that DeAndre Hopkins is not DeAndre Hopkins of 5 years ago or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's still a really good player. And he's a veteran, and they had to bring somebody in because of the injuries that Kansas City has suffered at the wide receiver position. And he's still playing with Travis Kelce, who just finds ways to get open. And they run their own plays, by the way. Like, I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen players play the way that Patrick Mahomes plays with Travis Kelce. I've never seen that. So, but you see how Patrick just raises the level of everybody's play around him. You know, so you're Kareem Hunt, you're sitting on the couch, you get a call, listen, we got all these injuries, come back here and come run for us.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, Kareem Hunt is running for 100 yards a game.
Yeah, but I'll give you just on it, because, you know, getting Patrick Mahomes is like one in a million. But getting someone like Baker Mayfield is not. And he's a guy who raised the play everybody on the field yesterday, too, because there was no Mike Evans, there was no Chris Godwin. He went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes on the road in the rain, like...
Just goes to show you how stupid Cleveland is.
Yeah, well,
that's the thing. Now, maybe Baker wore out his welcome in Cleveland. I don't know. I mean, he was doing a lot of commercials, doing a lot of different things off the field.
That was definitely on the Browns more than anything else. He wasn't doing. I mean, think about, they brought in, like, wore out his welcome. Look what they brought in.
I know that, but what I'm saying to you, like, we don't know. Before Deshaun Watson got there,
yeah,
we don't know all the things that were going on internally. I don't. I have no idea.
Yeah.
And I can't understand for the life of me watching Baker not only play now at Tampa, but also doing what he did with the Rams in those three games that he ended up playing for the Rams. I think it was three games. And, you know, and he was battling it out with Sam Darnold to become the quarterback of the Panthers. You know, and it just... Whatever. So he's had quite the journey, and he's finally figured out how to play the game, and he found the right team for himself. I'm trying to think. I don't know. Like, are the Giants going to go after a guy like Anthony Richardson if he becomes available?
If they're not able to draft their guy in the draft, it was really the question. So we have to preface it with that. And I don't know. I mean, I would say probably not, just from the stuff we've seen from him already. But then again, Brian Daboll might sit and look at Anthony Richardson and say, man, I could be the guy who could fix him. I mean, you know, I know these names aren't exciting, but I mean, Sam Darnold is probably going to be available at the end of this year. After, you know, in the year that he's putting together, I'm sure that unless he goes and wins a Super Bowl or takes the Vikings to the Super Bowl, which is unlikely, they're going to go with a healthy J.J. McCarthy next year, and Sam Darnold will probably earn an opportunity to start elsewhere. That's a guy who could be out there.
Yeah, but another guy that, you know, I don't see him coming back to New York unless it's the only team
that's going to give him a chance to start.
That's going to give him a chance to start. I just don't see him coming back here. I mean, it's pretty nice playing indoors pretty much, you know, half your games, if not more, because you're playing in Detroit. You're obviously playing, you know, anywhere else that there may be a dome, but that there's something to be said about that.
Oh, yeah, and with an offensive coach and one of the best wide receivers in football, too, on top of that.
I'd be like, who has that to offer next year?
Not a lot of teams.
Well, no. We don't even know.
The Giants have an offensive coach and a great, what we hope is a great wide receiver in Malik Nabers. I mean, they do
stop dropping the passes, that's all.
Yeah. Right, and then saying crazy stuff after the game about not being able to call the plays and implying that the play calling is bad. I mean,
yeah. I told you yesterday that goes over like a lead balloon.
Yeah.
When rookies start, you know, pontificating about, you know, offensive play calling, like this guy has just got here. You know, and he's already missed games because of a concussion, and he's already dropped the most passes in the league. And now all of a sudden he's out there giving his point of view about, you know, what we should be doing, what I'm not doing. Come on.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we going OBJ too now all of a sudden?
Yeah. I mean, think about like that whole thing when he went on ESPN and sat next to Lil Wayne and basically trashed Eli Manning on national TV. I mean, that was one of the most bizarre scenes ever. And that's what got him traded was I think that was the last straw. It was like, all right, enough. I don't know how you do that, especially with the way that Eli was beloved over there, and rightfully so. That was not going to fly. So hopefully this is a teaching moment, a learning experience for him, and this is the worst it gets for Malik Nabers. I don't know what to say. He's rookie. He's young. Shouldn't have said that. Maybe this is the last time we're talking about him saying that type of stuff, but he's frustrated, man. I mean, the offense stinks. They don't score touchdowns. You know, they can't win at home. He's coming from a winning environment. He's got, you know, he's got Huckleberry Finn as his quarterback. He's watching Jaden Daniels in Washington in his same division, you know, go 7-2. It's just pissing him off. Now he's got to act like an adult and deal with it like a professional. But he's frustrated, you know.
I understand he's frustrated, but he also has to recognize where he is, who he is. You know, and that's usually the hardest thing for younger players to deal with. It's just like, just put your head down and play. Just play the game and do what they tell you. And then, you know, if you become an all pro and you make these spectacular plays, you know, then we'll give you a little bit more freedom to open your mouth.
Yeah.
But, you know, rookies should be seen and not heard.
Yep.
I'm sorry. That's just the way it is. I mean, like, I tried to put my head down when I was a rookie. Same thing. And because I didn't know anything.
I mean, like, unless you're the quarterback and you got to earn the respect of your teammates, right?
But,
I mean, then you got to
like
be a leader.
Cale Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, like, they are experiencing for the first time things that they have never experienced before in their lives. And the one thing I love about Jaden Daniels is how humble he is about it. Like, I know we're 7-2 and we're good. And, you know, I'm getting all these accolades. It's not about me, man. It's about our team and how we're playing and how I'm being prepared. And I mean, that's what you want to hear from a rookie. Now, it's easy to say that because he's winning. If the record were reversed and he had thrown 10 interceptions already, that may be different. But he is the prime example of how you handle the success in the league when you're this young and it comes this fast. I think C.J. Stroud did that last year. You know, that's what you want. You want that kind of player to be your leader, the ultimate mouthpiece for your team, because he knows that there are things that are happening around him that he's reacting to that he has never seen before. And he's made plays because of how good of an athlete he is. And just he's now starting to process defenses and he's getting rid of the ball quickly. You know, that is something that you would have never expected. I would think all three young quarterbacks are going through a little bit of that right now. And all three young quarterbacks look like they're going to have long, distinguished careers by virtue of how they're handling things that they had never seen before.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We've got Jerry in here, and he's got an update. What's going on, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. You guys were talking Monday Night Football, so here's the game winner from last night.
Handoff, Kareem Hunt, right side, powering, he is, give it to him, touchdown, Kansas City, it's a walk-off touchdown by Kareem Hunt, and the Kansas City Chiefs stay undefeated at 8-0, the only unbeaten team in the National Football League.
Didn't get in by much, but he got in. Go Bucks. Well, they lost. That was Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio as they get to 8-0 indeed. 30-24 was the final. Hunt on the night, 106 yards rushing with that game winner. Patrick Mahomes, 291, three touchdowns, two to DeAndre Hopkins. Here's Andy Reid. Mahomes and Hopkins, quite the connection already.
He's got a lot of trust in him. And you've seen DeAndre make those catches over his career. Get two great players thrown to each other. Sometimes great things happen. And so it's not the way we drew it up, but it was a good finish too.
I would say it was.
There's
a
lot
of
things that they that happen for the Chiefs that they don't draw up. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I mean, there's a lot of crazy stuff that goes on during the game, and it's all really because the quarterback is just incredible.
And the quarterback, for a moment, a little concerned with his ankle, so much so that Andy Reid wanted him to come out of the game. And Mahomes says,
"I thought he was joking. He said it. And I was like, come on, like we're not doing this again. It's he trusts me. And once the doctors checked it out, and I was able to get back and do the drops again, he let me get back on the field.
And he did. He was pretty damn good on the night as well. In terms of Tampa, so they lose the game, but they did have the drive to get the game even late with an opportunity to go for the win or kick the extra point and go to overtime. So, Todd Bowles, did you give any thoughts of going for two there?
Very minor. We wanted to get it to overtime with the wet conditions on the field. We felt like we had to go in overtime instead of go for two. So,
yeah.
We had our shots.
No, I'm sorry.
But they have wet conditions.
No way. No way, man. You're playing against Patrick Mahomes. You're an Arrowhead. Come on. What are we doing?
That's they probably would have lost anyway. 27 seconds on the clock with Mahomes getting the ball again.
Yeah, he probably would have run right down the field, and Butker would have kicked like a 65-yard field goal
in wet conditions.
Right. I mean, it's amazing. He right now, Patrick Mahomes is 8-2 in overtime, including the playoffs. 6-0 in the regular season. That just tells you all you need to know.
Here's Baker Mayfield, his coach, Todd Bowles, upbeat after the game.
Todd had a good message. I mean, just we're that close, and don't get used to losing, but just turn this thing around, and we got a home game next week, and it's an NFC opponent, and got to find a way to win.
All right,
that's five straight games where Tampa Bay has given up at least 27 points.
Not a recipe to win.
No.
Very difficult. Week 10 will open Thursday with the Bengals and the Ravens. The Giants, of course, play the Panthers Sunday morning in Germany. Brian Daboll on Monday was asked about the quarterback spot.
Tale of two halves for Daniel. So I'll start with moving forward. Is he still your starting quarterback this week?
Yes.
Nothing change-wise.
Nothing changes.
Nothing changes. So that'll be Sunday morning. Wake up with the Giants and the Panthers with a 9:30 kick from Munich. As for the Jets, they will be in Arizona late in the day. Here's Morgan Moses revealing, maybe you knew this, maybe you didn't, revealing how he's been fighting through multiple injuries.
Same thing that I got in the first Patriots game. You know, grade 2 MCL tear, and a little meniscus, and a little fracture. So just, you know, obviously, you know, when you go through a battle of OTAs and training camp with your guys, you build this camaraderie that, you know, that never goes away, and you never want to feel like you let guys down.
How about that?
Totally understand that mindset. Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of injuries.
It is a lot of injuries. Then there's the Bears. They lost to the Cardinals 29-9 Sunday. They're 4-4. They've got this video of DJ Moore. I'm sure he felt something in his leg. At least it looks like that. But he walked off the field in the middle of a play.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering whether or not he just quit on the team. That's what it kind of looks like. But then all of a sudden you kind of see him limping a little bit.
And he goes right to the bench to sit down and he grabs the back of his leg.
You could see that something tweaked.
But it doesn't look great for sure. Yeah. He goes on the score in Chicago and the host is talking about how outside looking in, it doesn't look like Matt Eberflus has a good pulse or a good handle on the team, so they ask more.
So I'll ask you, has Matt Eberflus lost his football team?
I don't want to say no. The message yesterday was that we know we 4-4 now. It's just like being 0-0.
Yeah, so everyone was running with that. I want to say no.
I mean, you know, Caleb Williams did not play well against Arizona. He was throwing the ball all over the place. You know, the inaccuracy in this game by this quarterback was a little bit alarming, to tell you the truth, because he was so accurate in college and actually was getting better as the season went on, and he just had a bad day.
Yeah, I mean, that is a bad answer there.
Not
DJ
a great answer.
Moore.
Yeah, but a quarterback's got to play better, you know, and like I was saying about these young quarterbacks, they're dealing with a lot of this stuff for the first time, and the NFL is relentless. Like, now they have to get ready for another defense. Like, it just never ends. It feels like it never ends.
Well, 17 games, right?
That's it. It's a grind. The Yankees agreed to have Gerrit Cole come back on the current remaining terms of his contract, four years, $144 million.
So they wanted to turn down the fifth-year option. They said, we're not picking that up.
Brian Cashman said they were not comfortable adding the fifth year at that
good
money
for them.
And that age. And so they said, okay. So he's back, so that's great.
Well, I mean, for us, we were talking about this yesterday, how the player had all the leverage unless the team says no.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it was just worth a shot, like a half-court shot. Like, why not? Hail Mary, if they take it, fine. If not, we'll just stay in the current deal.
It makes me, it really does make me wonder that if they say no, then he says, okay, I'm a free agent. Why didn't he go? I know that
because he's
not
going to get the same money.
Exactly. So he loves the Yankees. This is his, you know, team growing up, and he wants to stay here, which I appreciate. But I also, it's nice to see a team actually put their foot down.
Yeah. I mean, I also think that they put their foot down with an educated guess that he was no way he was going to get that money. So it wasn't sort of just like, screw you, get out of here. It was like, hey, you're not getting the same contract anywhere else at this age coming off an injury. So, yeah, I just, to me, it was Scott Boras saying, hey, you know, maybe they'll be dumb enough to give you the extra year. And if they don't, then we'll just stay here. And they didn't.
So it's reporting that they will negotiate.
They might
negotiate.
Correct.
So in other words, if he has two good years back to back, you could see
maybe an extension.
Maybe.
They did not extend a qualifying offer to Gleyber Torres, so he is free to go. Joe Kelly, we heard from him after the World Series. He is talking more. He was on the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast.
This is the reliever for the Dodgers.
Correct. Yes.
He was also spent many years with the Red Sox and hated the Yankees then too.
And that's pretty obvious. Here he is talking about how the Yanks really weren't much of a challenge.
It was a fun series. I mean, they almost snagged a couple wins. You know what I mean? But I mean, if it was like the NCAA, like basketball, baseball, hockey, or football. I mean, like it was just a mismatch from the get go.
And then he went on to say that they would have been like the eighth or ninth ranked team in the tournament. And he went on to say the Padres were better, the Mets were better, the Braves were better, and they didn't even get in. The Phillies were better. And then here he is, I guess.
Just torched the Yankees.
Well, and then here is he implying that the Yankees are a lazy baseball team.
You know, we have a lot of big superstars in our clubhouse, but the superstars also care and aren't lazy and play hard. So that's the difference and the biggest separator.
Wow. I mean, that's a tough thing to say. Like, I don't know, man.
You watch the way that Shohei Ohtani runs the bases. Ball gets hit over Soto's head. He's on third base.
Yeah, it's very comparable to Stanton.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Yankees hit the ball over Mookie Betts' head, and Soto's standing on first base. That right there tells you all you need to know.
Yeah, listen, they're a better team. They play harder. I will agree with that. But I don't think that Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Juan Soto didn't try hard or work hard or were like lazy guys.
I don't know. I mean, Soto hit that ball over Mookie Betts' head, and he's standing on first.
Yeah, that's one example.
Yeah, but that's
season,
the World
you know?
Series.
Do you think that Juan Soto doesn't try hard? He's lazy and he doesn't try as hard as some of these other guys. It's hard to say that.
Adventureland out in right field.
That's not what I asked.
They got exposed like the Mets got exposed against the Royals in 2015. That's what I feel like. Remember the Royals would say, yep, make them throw the ball, make Lucas Duda throw the ball, make him field the ball. We're going to steal bases. We're going to make them throw it around because we know. At the end of the day, they can't do it.
There's a difference between a sloppy team and a team that's lazy. I think that there's a distinct difference there. I think it's a tough call in those guys. But even Giancarlo Stanton, who hit in the postseason,
he's lazy.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like.
But is that on the manager or is that on the general manager who put the team together?
If you believe that they're lazy.
He's lazy.
I mean, I think that's on the players themselves.
It's amazing. The way we talk about this team, you'd think they didn't even qualify for the playoffs.
A cakewalk into the World Series.
The Guardians were... I agree with you. The Guardians were not up to the level of the Yankees. They're still a damn good team, though.
I'm not saying that they weren't. I'm just telling you. That's why I was so confident back in August that the Yankees were going to the World Series.
Were you as confident when you picked the Yankees in 7?
I felt like, you know what, I was really disappointed, much like Yankee fans, you know, that I know in my life were really disappointed with what they were watching.
Mets gave qualifying offers to Alonso, Manaea, and Severino. All right, the Knicks were in Houston last night, losing to the Rockets.
Green hesitation, runs and stays with him nicely. Contested shot is up and good. What a tough shot from Jalen Green. Two Knicks around him. It's his second big three. And the Rockets now have an 8-point cushion with 57 seconds remaining.
And that was Mike Breen on MSG. Yes, Green finished with 15. Big shot there for sure. 109-97 was the final. Fred Van Vliet had 19, and Alperen Sengun had a team-high 25. 10 of those came in the fourth quarter. Also had 14 rebounds and 4 blocked shots. Interesting, Karl-Anthony Towns, 17 points, 19 rebounds, yet the Knicks were outscored in the paint, 62-38.
He only shot two three-pointers, by the way.
How about
that? He was 0-for-2 in those with those three-pointers. It was like a frustrating game.
Knicks now 3-3, the Rockets 4-3. Meantime, at Barclays Center, the Nets beat the Grizzlies.
Cam Thomas working against LaRavia. Cam comes on a high screen. Back it out top. Finney Smith a 3. For Dorian Finney-Smith. Knicks take a 104-101 lead with a minute 10 to go.
And that was Chris Carino.
Is Brooklyn in the house? I thought so.
On the fan. He had 17. Snapped the 101-101 tie there. They would tack on another and win 106-104. Dennis Schroeder had 20. Cam Johnson had 20. The Nets now 4-4. The Grizzlies 4-4. As well. A couple of just notes from the league. The Cavaliers beat the Bucks 116-114. Darius Garland had 39. Cleveland is 8-0 to start the season. And the Clippers were trailing the Spurs after the first quarter 40-14. And they came back and beat San Antonio 113-104. I give you 11 seconds from the Mink Man as St. John's got started last night.
Here comes the inbounds pass. Davon Smith, a baseline far out of the corner for three. Richmond shoots and scores. Kadari Richmond has 16 points, and St. John's ahead 74-48.
And they beat up Fordham pretty good. 92.
Oh, shizzle.
92-60. Seton Hall beat St. Peter's 57-53. Wins for Princeton, Hofstra, Columbia. A lot of local teams played that lost as well. I think Monmouth lost to Michigan State.
When's your first game?
Wednesday against Wagner.
Joey Waller still calling the Wagner games? It's going to be a WFAN reunion there?
I have no idea. That's a great question. I do not know.
You and Joey before the game exchanging a hug?
We'll take a photo if he's there.
You could sign microphones and like swap it like they do with the jerseys.
But no, I'm not doing that. I don't know, though, if he does road games, though. That I don't know, so maybe. And then the Devils were in Edmonton last night. Have not heard from Matt Lachlan in a long, long time.
Mercer floats one in front. Here's Meyer cutting it backhand, scores! Oh, baby, Dawson Mercer did the work. Meyer with the finish, and the Devils lead 3-0.
So while you were sleeping, the Devils beat the Oilers 3-0.
That is a great win for them. I mean, Jake Allen, how do you shut out Edmonton on their home ice?
They didn't allow a goal.
I think Jake Allen was the goalie last night.
31 saves, correct.
Wow.
Last night.
That is a great win for them.
Islanders Penguins coming up tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Tom Brady, in the beginning, his first game, everybody's all over him, says that it's awkward, he's not very good. And then it's like, oh, Tom Brady got better. Now, all of a sudden, people are criticizing Tom Brady again for his broadcasting. The latest is Skip Bayless, who gets let go by Fox, and he's doing every interview out there, says that he's the Daniel Jones of broadcasting, basically meaning that he's not terrible, but he's not good, and he's basically vanilla with no personality. And, I mean, I think Tom Brady's okay when I listen to him, but like the bigger thing for me is this can't continue. Like, this is the only thing interesting about Tom Brady broadcasting, in my opinion, because I don't think he's going to be. I kind of agree with Skip Bayless, to be honest with you, for the first time in my life. He's not going to be really good, and he's not going to be really bad. But his ability to be good is completely compromised by the fact that he has to operate under a different set of rules than every other color analyst in the NFL. He can't meet with the teams, and as you know better than anybody, the information that you can get from some of these guys, I mean, for crying out loud, we did like a week of shows on what Brian Daboll told Joe Buck and Troy Aikman before one of the games about how he has to bring the energy because his quarterback doesn't. You know, there's some coaches that really like to feed some things to the broadcast that make it a better broadcast. He also can't have an opinion on any of the calls from the officials.
Well, time out now. So he questioned the call of this past weekend, and the NFL said, "Yeah, that's fine." You know, they didn't have a problem with it.
But there is a rule in there. He goes, "I don't love that call." He's not allowed to criticize an official. He's not allowed to. It's part of the rules once he became an owner.
Would you be surprised after this year's Super Bowl if he decided, you know, to hang him up? Hey, I did it. I'm good. I'm done. I'm going to go work with the Raiders.
If I knew how he was going to make up that money that he's supposed to make every year with Fox, which is $35 million a year.
37.5.
Right. So
Don't forget the $2.5
million. You know what? I am not. 37.5. So if you're telling me that he's going to make up that money by being with the Vegas Raiders somehow or some other business venture because he's not doing Fox, and fine. But I don't know anybody, I don't care how rich you are, that walks away from $37.5 million to call one game a week.
The only thing I would say for him is that, you know, he's got to go to these games. And some of these games stink and they're blowouts. And he's got to sit there and he's got to do the game. And he's, you know, and like you said, yeah, he's good. He's fine. He's not going to move the needle one bit when it comes to watching the games. Very few, if any, announcers nowadays move the game at all. They get paid to, because of their name and their credibility, like Chris and Troy, those guys, and Tony Romo. They're going to get paid because they've been around. People know who they are. They know their voices, and they're very good at what they do. I don't know. Tom Brady, if you told me after this year's Super Bowl he was hanging it up, he didn't want to do it anymore, and then basically do other things for Fox, I would not be surprised.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense on paper, especially with the restrictions that he has, but that's just a lot of money to give up.
You got to think about this guy. He is already made probably $500 million,
but
if not more.
But you tell me all the time when I bring up that point that, like, still, no matter how much money you made, I mean, $37.5 million
I know that. A lot to walk away from. I mean, he's got a whole family office working his money, you know, investing in a lot of different things, real estate projects where he is used as the lure to get people involved in these different real estate projects. I mean, he's capitalized on everything that he's accomplished on the field, and he should be. That's what he should be doing. I'm just saying that he could end up very easily getting bored with what he's doing. That would be the thing. Not the criticism that comes along with it, because I remember when Chris Collinsworth told me that Tom Brady had called him. And Chris said, "You sure you want to do this?" Because Chris knows, just by being around for as many years as he's been, that there's just in the day of social media, just criticism, just nonstop. So I think it would be because he got bored more than anything else if he decides to give it up.
And Tom Brady is also one of those names, too, that people know. Like a guy like Skip Bayless knows if he has, because he's trying to get more attention again now that he doesn't have a job. Like, he knows if he says something
about Tom Brady that's a strong opinion.
Kind of like when he went after Troy Aikman.
But yeah, yes,
and also, Troy was playing
right. I mean, and he made a career on trashing LeBron. Like he knows Tom Brady's one of those names that you have a strong opinion on one way or another. It's going to make a headline if you're someone who is well known in sports media. So it's just one of those things.
And I would agree with you like that. And I would agree with him too. Like it's a very vanilla broadcast. Is it better than last year's broadcast? I mean, he's smart. He knows what he's talking about. I listen to when he's breaking down games, and he does have the understanding of exactly what teams are trying to do. I don't know. This past week, who do you have? Like San Francisco this past week? I'm trying to think which game I was watching that he had. I don't even know.
Yeah, neither do I. Was it
Seattle? It's one of the 4 o'clock games.
Was it Green Bay, Detroit?
Yes.
Green Bay, Detroit. Okay.
Thank you.
That's what it was.
Okay. Speaking of broadcasters, so I'm listening in the car to Tiki and Evan and Morash and Positive Tommy. So they're playing Mark Sanchez clips because Mark Sanchez was the color analyst for
the Giant game.
The Giant game. So Evan's like, Mark Sanchez says this one thing. He gives this nickname to Daniel Jones. I can't figure out for the life of me.
He gave Daniel. I'm trying to think. Did Mark? I don't remember Mark Sanchez giving a nickname to Daniel Jones.
So I was out watching this game. So like the sound was up where I was, but I didn't hear this. So I'm just going to ask you guys, I'm going to throw the nickname out and see if you can understand what he said. So Mark Sanchez goes, your leading rusher is Daniel Jones, your quarterback, number 8, the snowman. Okay. When you hear that, Eddie, you're nodding. What do you think that means?
The snowman is the 8.
Thank you.
In like for a golf situation. Right.
Thank you. Okay.
Very good, Eddie.
Yeah.
The way you said it, though, the number 8.
Well, that's the way he said that.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, you put the emphasis on number 8, the snowman.
So did he, though. I'm telling you, if you listen to it, that's exactly the way he did.
Okay, so what are these guys in the afternoon do around here?
So Tiki had gotten to it. He's like, the 8, the snowman, like he had gotten to it, but Evan thought that he was making a white quarterback joke, like the snowman. And I crap you not, Tommy Lugauer thought that he was referencing cocaine.
Well, Tommy Lugauer comes from the Molly family, right? I mean,
I am not kidding.
He spent a very good portion of his adult life like completely somewhere else because of a drug.
Tommy goes, listen,
by the way, he has said that on the show.
Right.
I'm not saying that outing him or anything. This is when he was younger going to concerts.
So Tommy goes, listen, Daniel Jones doesn't curse. I don't think he does. I don't think he smokes weed or does anything. But when I hear snowman and someone says snowman, that means cocaine to me. I mean, is that what Mark Sanchez was saying? Like, what? So I couldn't believe it. Now, Tiki finally was like,
guys,
it's an 8. It's a snowman. It's an 8. It's a, And then Evan's like, but then Tiki also said, but generally a snowman is 3 snowballs and the 8 is only 2. I'm like, God.
Yeah, I don't think Tiki plays golf.
He does. Yeah, he does. He played in the Pro-Am. You guys split that Pro-Am that year up at TPC River Highlands.
I don't remember that. I didn't realize he played golf. Then he should know what a snowman is.
Yeah, of course. Exactly. But, I mean, even...
And by the way, Mark Sanchez is not going to say anything remotely controversial.
Right, exactly. Big old white quarterback snowman doing coke. That's your leading rusher. Come on, please. You just think a little bit.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, 3-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.